Much warmer on Monday, the high Monday in the upper 80s. Monday night, mostly cloudy with another chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the low 70s. At noon Central Time across Illinois and Indiana, most locations were cloudy. Skies were sunny in much of western Illinois and southern areas of Illinois and Indiana. Rockford reported 66 degrees at the top of the hour. It was 64 at O'Hare, 63 at Bloomington, 68 at Mattoon, 74 at Carbondale. In South Bend, 66 degrees at Lafayette and Terre Haute, 65 degrees at Indianapolis and Evansville, reported 75 degrees. Willard Airport reported 67 degrees at the top of the hour, the sky cloudy. The dew point, 56, the relative humidity, 67%, the wind out of the west at 12, the barometric pressure, 29.84, and rising. And at 12:38, 65 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois, the sky cloudy. In rural towns throughout central Illinois, deciding where to attend worship services today could mean giving up youth activities or choir for a smaller service, or sacrificing a local connection to seek out parishioners of a similar age in a large congregation. As part of this series, Life on Route 150, Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert looks at rural churches and what some in the region are doing to survive in today's climate.
For Kenny and Kenna Rice, the pastor at Countryside United Methodist Church lets their praise band cover Christian rock artists like Rich Mullins and Newsboys during the contemporary service. But the ensemble is missing their bass and drummer this weekend, so Kenny says he and his daughter have chosen an Al Green song for Sunday service.
If you can take that hook, you know, of the song, God is Standing By, and present that to the congregation, hopefully later on in the week they'll remember it. Well, that's what we're trying to do, is make it a music ministry that supports what our pastor is saying. God is
standing by. The story of Countryside United Methodist typifies what many churches in rural towns deal with each day. Located halfway between Philo and Sidney, it's the result of a successful merger between congregations in those towns more than 30 years ago. Locating anywhere in the region was quite a change for Bill Hench. He and his wife lived in the Chicago area in the early 70s, but the mere size of One Church of Christ had them looking elsewhere.
And we just got the feeling we were a number instead of a person. You know what I mean? You get lost, and the minister wouldn't know your name from anything. But anyway, my wife and I noticed that there was something missing in our lives, and it was a church.
The Henches moved to Sidney in the mid-70s, where Bill served on a finance committee to plan what would become Countryside United Methodist. He says some residents in each town didn't want to attend church out in the country and went elsewhere, but
what we have lost from those people, we have gained. So we have a very diverse membership here. They come from all walks of life, and some are retired and some still got jobs, and seems like everybody that comes to this church has got something to offer.
When Philo and Sidney each had a church, they shared a pastor. Kathy Murphy splits her duties between Methodist churches in Ogden and Broadlands, saving them $20,000 annually in salary and benefits. She says prior pastors in the area didn't mesh with the community, and that's needed in small towns to keep the church doors open.
Why are people in Ogden not coming to the churches here in town? You know, other than maybe going to seeking something like the more contemporary church, like the Vineyards or, you know, the mega church kind of thing in Champaign-Urbana. Because we have a lot of folks here in Ogden that don't appear to be have a church home.
One way Murphy is helping increase the church's visibility is a food pantry offered monthly at Ogden United Methodist and twice a month in Broadlands. Murphy says she'd like to link up the two parishes as well.
I would like to try to do things to help them draw a little bit closer together. I mean, after all, they share me, and it seems kind of nuts to duplicate everything when you could do some things together.
The Ogden Council of Churches is one way of doing that. It's the result of a 1996 tornado that destroyed or damaged three churches, including one that was never rebuilt. Three times a year, the Methodist, Christian, and Nazarene congregations hold a combined service. Churches can shut down or merge because of population shifts. In a way, that's what brought about the demise of one area Catholic school.
One of the teachers asked me, "Father, what can we do to increase enrollment?" And I said, "Well, I know what to do, but it'll take 7 years." And half the teachers laughed, the other half didn't get it. And what I was referring to is that we need to have more children.
Reverend Timothy Suppe is pastor at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Westville.
I know it's not politically correct to say those things, but it's just demographics.
St. Mary's had offered a school since 1903, but by 2008, enrollment had dipped from 120 to 70 in just 3 years. Since its closure last year, the school is now used solely for Sunday school, youth basketball practice, and special events like birthday parties. Suppe says the school shut down through no fault of its own, with a solid curriculum and teachers. He also admits Vermilion County's higher unemployment played a role. But other than losing some parents with children in the school, Suppe says the closure of the school hasn't affected the church's identity. Sometimes demographics and age take their toll, and a church can't survive. Grace AME Church was the last African-American church in the city of Paris, but Pastor Claire Wilson says she never had a problem making the trek from her home in Danville on Sundays.
And I did it with joy, because I love going down there.
Wilson says she was called by God to enter the ministry and serve the tiny Paris church, and she took the calling with her head held high, convinced that she'd lure in more people.
When I first went there, and I asked what was the population of the African-American in Paris, and I was told it was 25 people. And so the population of blacks was very small, so I guess that's part of the reason for it not growing.
For 8 years, Wilson led a congregation of less than 10 people and started her Sundays by leading service at a church in Lawrenceville, where she still preaches today. But Wilson says her youngest parishioners in Paris were in their 60s.
I think over the years, people moving away from Paris, and then people dying out, and the church just went by the wayside.
The city's African-American population is still less than 1%, but Wilson isn't sure where those residents attend worship now. The city says Grace AME Church still stands, but there are currently no plans for the vacant building. A spokesman for the Illinois Great Rivers Conference, a head office for the Methodist Church, says parishes that did close often waited too long to consider new ways of appealing to their community. But assistant to the bishop, John Hartle, wrote, says despite closing 6 to 9 churches annually, it's also opening new ones and overseeing 2 to 3 mergers a year. And some of those, so-called federated churches, involve more than one denomination. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
For pictures of all the churches featured in Jeff's report and to hear an extended interview with Pastor Kathy Murphy, visit our website, willconnect.org. More than half of the people who live in Peru are of indigenous descent. Many of them are poor, but that's changing. Peru's economy is booming. Democracy is gaining traction, and indigenous people are beginning to move into positions of power. The most prominent example is Peru's recently elected president. Reporter Annie Murphy has a profile of a Peruvian who is a rising international star.
A few years ago, the Peruvian film The Milk of Sorrow received top honors at the Berlin Film Festival. And on stage, Magali Solier, the actress who plays the film's protagonist, did something surprising. She chose to accept the award by singing in the indigenous Quechua language. Solier grew up in a family of Quechua farmers in Peru's highlands. Whether speaking or singing, she often calls on Quechua in addition to Spanish. But even though more than half of Peruvians are indigenous or have indigenous roots, she says she was cautioned against speaking Quechua in public.
People thought that I would be laughed at. My family, my friends, they told me, don't speak in Quechua. You'll be humiliated. You'll get knocked down. You'll be made fun of. I said, why do I have to beat around the bush? Why can't I speak whatever language I want?
Solier clearly has her own take on how to do things. She says that has a lot to do with growing up in a place that was affected by violent repression during the 1980s.
Tenías que hacer silencio porque se hacía bulla.
You always had to be quiet when I was growing up. If you made noise, the Shining Path guerrillas would come, take you away, and kill you. And in the end, it was the local people who got rid of the violence, who began to arm themselves and make rounds to keep the community safe. In the film, The Milk of Sorrow, Soliere plays a young woman affected by the rural violence of the 80s, living in modern-day Peru. During the time of Peru's armed conflict, some Peruvians believed that campesina women who were raped could pass their fear onto their children through their breast milk. Soliere's character is one of those children grown up. In the scene, she angrily asks why city people don't grow potatoes, which are a symbol of rural life in Peru. The movie catapulted her into a successful international career. Throughout the film, she also sings, and she's since become a professional singer, too.
When I got to Lima, the music I'd sung growing up was looked down upon. It was something that people thought was only good for getting drunk and getting into fights. I said to myself, people in the capital and foreigners, they don't know what the music is really like where I'm from. I wanted to do something different.
Soliere is part of a larger cultural shift in Peru. That shift is also visible in the election of Ollanta Humala, who's of indigenous descent, as Peru's next president. Nonetheless, many people were jolted by his election. Magali Soliere believes they should wait until Humala is actually in office to make up their minds about him.
Whether he'll do good or bad, no one knows yet. Human beings that haven't had the same opportunities, you have to give us a chance in order to find out what we'll actually do.
For NPR News, I'm Annie Murphy in Lima, Peru.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 24th of June, 2011, anniversary of Picasso's first exhibition in Paris, 1901, through the art dealer Ambroise Vollard. Picasso was 19 years old, unknown outside of Barcelona, 75 paintings, and the critical response was generally pretty good. So Picasso decided to stay in Paris. That summer, 1901, marked the beginning of his blue period, which lasted 3 years, during which he painted his famous The Old Guitarist. It was on this day, 1374, in Aachen, Germany, an outbreak of dancing began, a plague of dancing known as St. Vitus's Dance, or epidemic chorea, dancing mania, groups of people. It spread across Central Europe as far as England, Madagascar, sometimes thousands of people.